Greetings, Earthlings. Welcome back to the Straight Spirit Podcast. I am Lily, your host. Lily, your host and psychic medium. Thank you for joining me this evening. Thank you, new listeners and returning listeners. I love you all so much. If you feel so inclined, please share the podcast. And don't forget to give me a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you have any... And other platforms, if you have, including Spotify, if you have any case suggestions or topic suggestions, feel free to send them through to straightspirit1@gmail.com. Or if you have any information related to cases I've read for, you're welcome to send that through as well. So I'm going to be reading tonight a case I know zero about factually. It is a missing MMIW case, missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, case from the other side of the globe. this girl, I picked her name, I was drawn to her name, and I picked her name off a list of missing persons. She went missing very recently from the Wind River Reservation. It was listed as the 22nd of April, so very, very recently. This lovely girl's name is Tasia, or Tasia, I think it's Tasia Chevelle. Actually, almost don't want to say her last name. I want to say Tasia Chevelle. If I pronounced her name incorrectly, apologies. I was actually going to say Tasia, and then I heard something say Tasia. So, all I know is just from this little blurb of information that Tasia Chevelle was 14 years old, is 14 years old, missing. As far as I know, they haven't found her or don't know what's going on, because she wasn't listed as missing and murdered. It just said missing. So I'm guessing it's all out, up in the air. Nobody knows anything. Again, with these readings, all alleged. It's been quite interesting doing some of these readings because with missing persons readings, I've even found recently that one person that I read for, while still being on a missing persons list, I think was actually still active on one of their Facebook accounts, but they were still like publicly missing. So that's something to be mindful of, that sometimes these lists don't get updated just because somebody says someone's listed as missing doesn't mean they're still missing to family and friends. Maybe they popped back into their onto their family's radar, or and police haven't been notified, or something along those lines. It's entirely possible. People who assume that they've been, these people that are missing have been murdered or worse, but sometimes they're alive and they're just living different lives. So that's almost the second best anyone could hope for, I suppose, if they're gone, that they're alive and happy. Okay, but in this case, logically, one would think a missing 14-year-old girl on an MMIWG database or a website, given the sorts of cases that are happening over there, it doesn't bode well when you go logically. So when you think logically, approach it logically. I apologize if my vocabulary is in the toilet. It's very early in the morning, middle of the night. I'm tired, but I want to get this reading done. All right, let's get into it. I heard heard a woman saying, Tasia, what have you done? But very gently, like she's a very gentle feminine energy. Like if she's a mother, maybe she's gentle, or a stepmom, or she feels a little bit removed. So maybe a mother-like figure or guardian. Very feminine. Feels like they're beside themselves. Which of course makes sense, but I tell you what I see, what I feel, what I hear, taste and touch. It's funny, I'm actually feeling like a 14-year-old girl right now. Like energetically, I can feel it. The things, the jewelry, the colorful jewelry, all the clothes, the things that a 14-year-old girl would wear. I'm not saying like fashion, like I don't know, like on a cover of a 14-year-old girl's magazine, like the mean girl or the hot girl from school. I'm not getting that vibe, not stereotypes, but I'm seeing all the plastic colored beaded jewelry, all the colored hair design, like accessories, just really a kid. There is a possibility that she grew up way too fast. I'm also feeling like with some of these cases, 14 here in Australia is very different to 14 over there around those areas. What I mean when I say that is when I hear 14-year-old girl, when I think of a 14-year-old girl, she's still a kid to me. She's still young, still very innocent, intelligent, no doubt, but definitely, like we're not talking 18 to 20s here, in my mindset, but I'm learning very quickly with some of these MMIWG cases that teen doesn't necessarily mean naive, or there are definitely kids in these places that are growing up before their time to grow up and not in the best way. So it's interesting. I can feel her being a real kid at her age. I keep seeing someone who has glasses, maybe t-shirts and jeans or shorts, like not dressy, super dressy. When I see plain, I certainly wouldn't describe any girl that way, but I'm hearing plain, and I think that has to do with, like I'm saying 14-year-old girl, but not one that's out, like super outgoing, or, I mean, she may be. How do I word this? I get a little bit of an outcast kind of vibe. Except with the people that she knew and hung out with. Like, but I still, I mean, it's interesting because I do still feel like strictly 14-year-old. Like a young girl. Pardon me. I'm feeling like Wind River Reservation, if for those who don't know, was featured in a movie, a great movie, by the way. And I was getting this feeling that it's every bit what they say, but worse. It's not as like they make places look nice and hospitable in movies and they show the beautiful parts of it. But it's like it's every bit what they thought, but uglier. Or what's a different word to uglier? I mean, no disrespect, obviously. It's like some people might watch the movie and go, oh, it looks so beautiful, I'd love to go there. And she's like, you don't want to go here. It's not the same. If it's not her, this is Source giving me this energy, one of her ancestors speaking for her. It's not what people think. You know what it makes me think of? For those of you who have seen Tucker and Dale, or a sort of show where they're looking at the flyer for the house and it looks beautiful and new and fresh, and then when they rock up to the house, they take the picture away from the camera and it's disheveled. It's falling apart at the seams. Okay. Pardon me. I'm just going to listen in and scribble. I can see her with her backpack, like getting on a bus or going to school. You know, while she may have been excited to see some people there, like one or two close friends, it really, really feels like not excited to be here. It doesn't feel like this is a girl who lived for the social interaction at school. Like, unless it was with a couple of friends. What I mean by that is, it's not like she was going to school and loving being around everyone there. May have been bullied. May have been super self-conscious. It's like she came out of her shell for certain people, certain activities. But like, I just get an overall theme of going to school as not where she wanted to be. Why do I also feel like she's fallen in with the wrong crowd? Or associating with older people? Older teens? I'm wondering if they have introduced her to substances as well. It doesn't necessarily mean anything hard. It could be cigarettes. It could be the occasional alcoholic drink. I just sort of see her trying to fit in with the masses and not knowing where she fits in. Okay, Tasia. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do this psychic reading, see what comes through, see what I can pick up, and then I'm going to check Google for factual information. I haven't read anything other than the little blurb that was on the website about her missing. Her name, her age, and where she went missing on Wind River Reservation, if I hadn't said that already. So, let's go. I feel like it's so interesting because she's so subtle. Usually with other readings, there's only been one or two where they've stepped back. With her, with this reading energy, it feels like she's back away from me. And it's like I've really got to listen to hear her. This may be an indicator of her being shy or soft-spoken. But every time I want to say that, things like of that nature, I see her goofing off with like a sister or a friend. So it's interesting having the two different personality traits among many, you know, someone who's shy, well-reserved, soft-spoken, but then around friends will do like karaoke with a hairbrush and talk about boys and girls and all these, explore all these ideas that teens do. But then once I go through that, I feel like she grew up faster than what she was supposed to. Maybe because of this circumstance. She's definitely missing. I feel like a big void where she used to be, and I feel that gentle mother like energy. It could be an older sister. It's just like someone who cared for her. They don't necessarily have to live together. Dark hair, I think. Where are you? Could be even a where did you go, little sister? Or something like that. Fear, like huge, massive, uncontrollable fear around this. Even if they suspect that she has gone with friends, if police or whoever is like, oh, she's probably with friends, you know, that they usually say, I don't know that they have said that. But even if there is some suspicion that maybe she's just off with other people, there is still huge fear, which is understandable. Given her location, what else goes around that area, and the fact that she's an Indigenous. That's not a good combination when it comes to missing and murdered cases. Like, I think you know what I'm saying. Nothing's good when it comes to murder cases, but if you're missing, young, female, and Indigenous in and around that area, like, those are all, like, it's almost like a trifecta for a perfect storm, you know? It could be all right, but the chances of it not being all right are pretty high. So I understand the fear. I feel this older female, she doesn't feel old. I want to say, not older than 30. It could be 20, 25, in that zone. Or she's just giving me sister vibes rather than like a carer. But she feels young. So it could be mother, but young mother. Or young guardian, young cousin, something along those lines. But them wanting her back, she's got to come back. Worried, sick, they are, this person is. This could also be representative of someone in her community, the community in general. Feels like a specific young woman, like a lot older than Tasia. I feel like I want to talk about one of her friends, like someone her age, friend. I wouldn't say that this friend has her best interests at heart. Not the older one, I'm talking about like someone her age, like a school friend or someone she met through community classes or sports or club, youth center. Through her, one of her guardians, through family, this young person who's on her level, like at her age, and not necessarily intelligence wise, just level age wise, certainly feels like getting up to mischief, having poor influence or at least some influence on her, getting her into trying new things. But I don't feel like it's malicious intent from this person. I feel like they're just reckless, and not caring what happens, because they're maybe too far gone themselves. I don't know if this is linked to her disappearance. I feel like it could strongly be. This is literally just what's coming up as I'm talking about this. I'm also seeing her, like, walking around by herself. Like, if she had to, like, go to the little grocery store by herself, but maybe was told to take somebody. I just see her by herself at this... How do I put this? Okay, there was another case years and years, like, ages ago that I saw a documentary or something about... a young girl went, I think she was, I don't necessarily think she was MMIW, but she went to a phone booth. This woman was much older, I think she was young. Went to a phone booth at the local grocery store by herself to use the phone and then disappeared from there. So that's what I'm seeing, her being like going a place like that by herself. But then I'm also seeing the older guardian, caretaker, carer, saying, it's showing me them both, showing me her in a pair. It's like, take someone with you. That vibe? I hope I explained that properly. But she's definitely alone, And she shouldn't have been. I almost feel like there was plenty of family there to go with her. But maybe she didn't want to ask because she had the, she wanted the privacy. Maybe, especially if she's a bit shy, doesn't feel like she knows those people as well. Or, is this like, I just heard, don't hesitate to ask. Maybe they weren't family. Maybe she was staying with them. Like, are they unfamiliar? But I get this older person feeling like they were familiar to her. So, but to her, to the young girl, maybe feeling like she couldn't reach out to them. I feel like I feel like she's alive at this point. Because I feel like it's not her energy talking to me. I think someone else is talking on her behalf. I feel life in her. What's that? Yeah, I feel like she's alive. But also feel like a not for long kind of energy, or like if they don't find her, trouble. Bad things gonna happen kind of vibe. Now that could be people thinking the worst or expecting the worst, but it definitely, you know, like, that was really weird. I've got a candle lit next to me, and just as I was saying that, I heard the word snuffed out, and then the candle flame went smaller and it got darker. That was a little bit chilling. Okay. It's probably the spookiest thing that's ever happened on this podcast. I've had plenty of other experiences, but in a live recording. Okay. This is really interesting because up until now, the reading has had an energy of like a young teen girl energy, maybe the occasional mischief, keeps to herself, or if she's not into strife and mischief, a friends or a friend or relative who is a young relative, cared for, wanted back home, beautiful, caretaker. I heard... See her alone at this place where she shouldn't be alone. But now I feel a sort of very oppressive male energy, and he feels much, much bigger, feels huge compared to her, like almost like a shadow standing over this. And it feels, it feels weird here, like it definitely changed the atmosphere. Okay, I had to pause, but I'm back. I only paused for a few seconds to go and check on something very important to me. And now I'm back. Yeah, the energy is very different. It feels oppressive. It feels human, of course. What else would it be? There's nothing else, I believe. But it feels like a large man standing over, shadow standing over me or her, because I'm feeling like her. But he's got his hands to himself, like hasn't touched her yet, like hasn't made a move, sort of looming. And I feel really shaky. Excuse me. Nervous and shy. You know that feeling, I don't know if you've ever experienced it, the chances are you have, where maybe you're at a party when you're older or something, and you get stuck out talking to friends or something, but it's cold and you don't realize because you're so busy talking. It's kind of like that feeling where you're so cold you start to shake, but not just like winter cold. It feels like it's a different kind of cold. I don't know how to explain it. Probably could if I really, really tried. It's like that cold you feel, but you've been outside talking or hanging out with friends at a party or bonfire, and you're cold, but you don't stop talking. You're too busy socializing or something, so you just sort of put up with it. Like, it's like late night, early morning kind of vibes, like staying up all night talking. Cold, like that sort of shaking. I don't know what it is, but can be linked to alcohol use. Not necessarily excessive, but I mean, I don't drink alcohol now, but obviously I have when I was younger and a younger adult. Yeah, it's just that, oh, like you finished at the club and then you're walking home and it's freezing and like the alcohol warmth has worn off and you're kind of shivering, like shaking, and your teeth are chattering. And you just can't wait to get home, get warm and dry, like walking home with your shoes off because your feet hurt. That kind of shaking, do you, some, maybe a small percentage of you understand what the hell I'm talking about. It was like the come down of something, like For me, I've never done any sort of drug, so I'm only speaking in terms of what experience I had drinking alcohol as a young adult. But anyway, I digress. I just felt that feeling. It's not a nice feeling. Or you know, when you drink and you're not maybe used to it, and you lie down and you just feel the room spinning. It feels like someone who's inexperienced with these things trying them on. That's what it feels like. And being out of her depth and having older males floating around, spying, keeping their distance. I heard spying, keeping distance. Waiting to attack. If someone didn't hurt her, someone was definitely about to, or had their eye on her. It doesn't have to be an adult male. It could be the younger male, but they just feel so big, so much bigger than her. Maybe there was more than one keeping an eye on her. For example, a young boy who had a crush on her, but then this taller, weirder, creepier male. It's definitely not a nice energy. But they keep saying to me, hands to himself, like he's, I don't see, like he's not touching her or like going to do anything in what I'm seeing yet. Like, he's just watching, talking to her, maybe seemingly harmless, especially to a 14-year-old girl who might want to be polite or might think he's nice because he smiles and, or like nothing weird to see here, but maybe a grown adult woman would look at this person and go, no, honey, you don't want to be talking to them right now. You know, but a 14-year-old girl who's taught to be polite, who's taught to, you know, isn't well-versed in using her intuition or which kind of people are the kind that you want to associate with. Perhaps she was letting some of these people a little closer than they should have been. I'm not saying it's her fault. I'm not saying anything's happened. I'm just sensing this energy around her. Watches. Not good. Do-gooders. What's that saying? Never do wells? Never do wells? That's a weird saying. I just heard that. I do see her making a phone call. I see it as a payphone, but maybe she didn't use a phone. If it's not a literal phone call, it could be just showing me her isolation at this time. Like maybe was with friends or family and then went away on her own. Let me narrow this down a little bit. When I talk to her, I see her with her guardian. So going to scribble and go quiet. Excuse me, but I'm still here. I'm still talking to you guys. I see her putting sneakers on. They look white with a bit of color to me, but not, they don't have to be. It could be symbolic. Putting on sneakers, and I hear the jingling of keys, like when someone leaves the house. I feel like she's walking by herself. Can hear the crunch on the road or the stones underfoot on the gravel. It can be little ones, little pebbles, big ones. I feel like it's daylight. Almost like you wouldn't expect, even though she was told to always take someone with her, it's like nothing bad's gonna happen. It's just going over here, or it's not that far, or I've done it before and nothing bad happened, or I've done it with a friend, but this time I'm going to go alone, or I'm going to be quick, like not taking the threat seriously, like someone who would just go, it's just around the corner. And then I feel like her guardian or guardian saying, call me if you need help, or if this happens, like just being very cautious. Come straight back. Come straight home. Come straight back home. That's what I want to say. They said to her, come straight back home. That kind of energy. Or they want to say to her. This person's very anxious and very worried about her. come straight back. Come right back. Don't mess around. Don't play around. You're not wanting them to spend any more time away from home than home or the house, I want to say. Maybe it didn't feel like home yet. I feel like she got to where she was going, or at least I'm seeing her appear in a busier place, like an intersection. I can see a car going, I see people, or like the literal place she was going to. It's like a community place, communal, social. People around, cars moving, her doing a thing. I do feel like she's on the phone. She's on the phone. She's like watching her back or looking out. I definitely don't feel like she was ignorant or completely unaware. Now, if she didn't go somewhere like this, it could be just throwing back to that story of the main takeaway from that story from a long time ago was that that young girl, she just said a quick bye and then she left, and no one expected that she would disappear from that, I think is the point of the story and why it's coming up in here. It was like she just went to go and use the payphone, or she wasn't supposed to be there. She was supposed to take someone, but they didn't go with her. Or she, that's it. I think she asked for a lift from her mum or her guardian or something, or could be older brother. In this case that I heard a while ago, not this one, but they didn't take her. So she walked to use the payphone, something like that. It wasn't meant to happen. She wasn't meant to be gone this long, obviously. But it feels like walked out the door, was supposed to come right back, and she didn't. She never made it. Okay. Now I'm throwing back to that friend of hers. You can see her, darker hair, feels longer, could be brown instead of black. You can see a fire, like a bonfire. You can see the flickering, or campfire. I can see the flickering orange light on their faces. Not meant to be there. Almost like going to a party or a cookout, or I would say barbecue over here, or grill up, grill up. Does anyone call it a grill up? Cook up. Some with older people, old guys, older people that they weren't like. It's not their scene. It's not where they're supposed to be going. You know, even if there are family members there. It's like when you see young teenage girls end up at a college party. That college is probably a bit too old, maybe. But for this example, that's the kind of the point. It's they don't belong there. They don't belong there. Trying to fit in, trying to be cool, putting themselves in danger and not realizing it. Trusting that people are giving them maybe drinks, alcohol, not realizing that maybe, you know, there's a danger that they could be spiked. There's a danger that they could be, like, trusting. It feels very naive. These guys, like, are being really nice. They'd never hurt us. But, of course, like, a seasoned woman would know, or a older person. It's, you know, like the smiling wolf attitude. They're nice because they want something from you. And not all nice people are like that, but I can see this smiling wolf, feeding them up, fattening them up so they can eat them later, that kind of vibe. But these girls are not knowing it. They're just, and maybe more than one or two girls or friends in this group. It's almost, it could be an older male feeding them to these other males. It feels like leading them to the slaughter. Like, I've got these chicks that are going to come along. But these guys are old. And this one person, at least, is much, much older than they should be messing around with this. He feels like the older one of the bunch of this group. Not obviously the oldest guy in the village or like the reservation or community, in the street or the group. How do I say this? He's too old to be messing with them. They all are. And maybe the person that's bringing them in is younger, around their age, and that's why they trust them. Or he's like a cousin or family. Or it could be known at school, so they think it's okay, and they're trying to be cool and fit in. Or if they're not worried about being cool, it's about being edgy or being liked, about guys talking to them or people giving them attention. But I just want to say they have no idea what state of danger they're in. I just feel like if you told this tale to a grown woman who would understand, she would be mortified. She would stand up out of her chair. You've got to get out of there right now. Like, I feel like I want to stand up and just stop. This is like, this isn't good. This is bad. Like, we've got to get out of here now. Just clueless. But it's not their fault, you know. It's not the lamb's fault that the wolf eats it, right? It's a lamb. Did I say that right? It's not the lamb's fault that the wolf eats it. Yeah, it's a lamb. But I feel like mama lamb or the older lambs have warned them, but they didn't, not listening. But like this, or this influence from other people or a friend in particular is stronger than the influence of a parent or guardian or older sister. It feels cold, like even though I'm seeing fire, it feels chilly out, it feels cold. Or if it's not cold weather, it's just like the hour, the time is cold, it's cold. Could be the wind, could be rain. She doesn't feel wet. It feels like cold wind blowing or early morning cold. The day is warm, but the night is cold, like a desert kind of vibe. Not that I think they're in the desert, but you know what I mean. It's cold out at night still, even though the weather's changing. And I'm hearing her guardian say, don't forget to take a jacket. So she didn't literally say that. It's cold enough to go take a jacket with you. I don't know for sure. Like, this is linked to the disappearance. This could be something that happened before. Like this, I don't know. Right now, I'm just going to follow the story. I'm going to follow the thread and see where it goes. I'm seeing her getting more than she bargained for. You can see one of the guys dancing with her, or like hold like arms around her, making a move, but she doesn't know what it really is. Chick keeps coming up. Chickies. Not chickadees, like chicks. But it's girls. But they look at it, you know, someone who go like picking up chicks. But these aren't chicks, they're young girls. Praying. It's not picking up, it's preying upon. Ugh. Just whoever's attached to her, I would recommend they look towards older guys that she should not have been associating with, or older guys in the community who are in and around it who are preying upon younger girls. I would look there for some sort of information, clue. Is there a whereabouts? Okay, what else? I can see that guy energy there again. So I'm back to seeing her at daylight. In this place. If you were missing at night, substitute that in. But I'm seeing this daytime. But this, the guy with his hands, like, not touching. Tall. Is there. I feel like he's around her, watching her, or like came upon her, and her friend, or it's him and her, like saw her, maybe talked to her, and then I'm seeing like pounce, and then the hands come out, like made his, made a ploy, do you want to lift back? Such and such is over here. Do you want to go say hi? Or, you know, I'm seeing a dog. Oh, my dog's in the car. You want to say hi? Like, you knew my dog. Met my dog before. You like. But I also get this feeling like nobody's paying attention. Like, no, there's so much going on. Nobody's watching. Just disappeared. I feel like someone is involved in keeping her away. Like someone might have her, or someone might be keeping her around or partying with her. Coercing her, but it's like if she went of her own volition, but then someone's keeping her away. That's what it feels like. I feel like they are going to find her. I'm going to say there's a chance they might find her alive. But she's not going to be, like, she's not going to be all right. I'm seeing her with a handcuff, but, like, beaten, bruised, or traumatized internally, or not, just something about her is not okay if they find, you know, find her alive. I do feel life in her, so. I mean, it's entirely possible she's voluntarily gone, but she's being abused by people enabling her or giving her substances she's too young to be using. Or it feels far more nefarious than that. But I do feel like she's alive at this point in time. Also, I should say, I don't get paid for this podcast at this point in time either. So for those who suspect, you know, think, oh, I'm just capitalizing off people's sad stories, I'm not. And to me, it's not a sad story. It's a tale, but it could be a cautionary tale for some. It could be an awakening tale, helping people see and understand spirit and how it works and open up to their own abilities because everyone's got them. It could be, you know, a tale where I speak on behalf of spirit and some of these, you know, people who maybe never got a chance to do that again. And to just help break in, help the families, and enlightenment, bring light, bring alignment, bring love, bring happiness, help ease people's minds and worries. That's what I aim to do, help heal, bring healing. So in case that's not clear, yeah, that's what I'm about with regards to this podcast and these cases. It's also in and around MMIWG Awareness Week, I think. So if you feel so inclined, I would recommend donating. If you're over in that area, like, just help out where you can. Volunteer your services. Get the word out. Put up some flyers, posters. Talk to people. Help keep these girls and women safe. I mean, someone could even put together a transport service that's safe for them. That is group funded and a group affiliated, so it's not just one person, checking each other, keep watching each other's backs and making sure that the people that are helping are above board. Not trusting just one person with it, you know what I mean? It's making me think of, I don't know if they are trying to get safe transportation together for these girls, people in these remote places or abandoned or neglected places. It's making me think of, there was a case, it's been in movies and it's been in real life too, I think. I think it was a show to someone was driving the college golf cart to and from around the one that was escorting girls to safety, but ended up being the one that was actually hurting them. I feel like whoever's listening to do with the MMIWG cases, you got to be careful of that, bad guys inserting themselves, bad people inserting themselves in these institutions that are set up to help the community. So that's why you've got to do things together. You've got to have pairs. You've got to watch and check and double check and hold people accountable. When you shine the light too bright, these people slither away. It's such a shame that she's 40. Pardon me. Best case scenario, if she is 14, she's 14 and has voluntarily gone missing, it's still traumatizing for any 14-year-old to be a missing, on the missing persons list and have people missing them. Maybe there to some people and over there it's common, but that's just not, I wouldn't say that that's not how it's supposed to be for someone her age. So that's a lot. Bare minimum, the very least, she's dealing with too much for her age, just by being missing. Now then we have to take into consideration the reasons why. I just saw a needle. Coercion. I feel like she's going with someone who's older than her, bigger than her. Coerced. Doesn't want to go, but terribly afraid. Thinking that someone's going to come get her. What I mean by that is, not wanting to go with this dude, with this guy, or person, uncle, if it could be someone in the community, but I feel like she's aware of him, or a friend of a friend, someone else's uncle, a family member, cousin, that kind of vibe. She's aware of them, loosely. Them sort of coercing her and pressuring her, or leading her away. Arms around her and pushing her this way. She doesn't want to go, but then thinking, I don't want to fight right now, scared or just anxious but not speaking up, or not knowing what to do, feeling like no choice, coerced, but then going, I'll just go with them, like call mum from the house, or I'll like someone else will be there and I'll help, but they didn't help. Or like, it could be other people in on it that she trusts, but it almost just feels like it seems a little bit speculation-ish. But I just feel like I'll just go to keep myself safe in this situation, and I'll find a way out of this later, or someone's going to come and find me, the police are going to find me, or like someone's going to come and rescue me. I feel like that's also part of the naivety. I hate to keep using that word because I don't think she's silly in any way, but I do think it fits the energy of this underestimating the kind of situations or the people and places that they're in. And not, you know, an older woman might have taken precautions and made sure there was an out, not even been there in the first place, or had a backup plan. Like someone going on a date and saying, if I text you this or like call you, hit the button 3 times and hang up, something like that, then you know to call me and then get me out of here, or come pick me up while he's in the bathroom. Like there's an out, there's a way out, but this feels more like her and her friends or friend getting into situations where, and I've been in them myself as a young adult, where you didn't realize you were up Schitt's Creek until you were right up Schitt's Creek without a paddle. Not like the TV show. Just feel this feeling of I just want to bring her home. Sleepless nights. Someone's not sleeping because of this. Probably a lot of people. She's too young to be out by herself. Or with this other person, they're too young. I can feel this older woman, that semi-older woman, looking for her, driving around looking for them. Have you seen her name? You know, have you seen, is there a Lacey or a Lace or a Lucy involved in this case? Have you seen... T and an L. Have you seen her? And then panic stations when they can't find her. It's getting dark and they haven't found her. Gone to different places, asked different people, shown photos, spinning around, where is she? It's almost this feeling of if it was so straightforward, they would have found her. If she was right there, wouldn't they have just knocked on that everybody's door and found her? I also wonder if she lived on that reservation or was just visiting family. Visiting people. I'm feeling like it's permanent, more permanent than not. Frequently there. I also feel like a grandma around that. Pardon me, guys. I'm gonna finish this up soon enough. I just want to see what else I can squeeze out here. I'm feeling her have a sense of betrayal. Like, if for when they do find her, if they haven't already, I just feel this betrayal, like, how come you didn't find me sooner? Or I can't believe you couldn't find me until now. Or, how could you leave me here with him or with them? I see her in cuffs, so... Pardon me. I mean, there's every chance she'll be getting arrested, but it doesn't quite feel like that. It feels more like, secured or trapped. What is that? Why are you good? When they set her free, could be a word of mouth. I see someone talking and then another person talking to another person, and that person telling an authority figure in the community or law enforcement. Like, someone is going to tell someone something and that person is going to blurt it out, spread the word. People are going to talk about this, where she is, what's going on, what happened. I keep hearing trauma, deal with the trauma. This could be an assault issue. I heard rape, but I've learned to say what they tell me, but I'm also very cautious about what I'm saying. I feel like she's in a home, in a residential place, and she's trapped. I can see her sitting in the living room chair with handcuffs on, and this larger person just walking past her, like trapped, but not in a box. Like placating and playing nice until he moves on. But it also feels like there might be other people around occasionally. Or like secreted away, squirreled away. This could be a situation where she voluntarily left, went to a party, ran away with friends, or if not ran away, just wanted to get away, was planning on coming back, and then got caught up in it, or is sort of stuck now. Always being watched, no way back. Because it hasn't been that long. It hasn't been that long. And I feel him and maybe one other person, one or two other, like feel them, him and them, talking about what are they going to do with her and or like with her, what's going to happen now. It just sort of feels like, okay, time's going on now. What are we going to do about this situation? How are we going to make it worse? Or how are we going to fix this? So it doesn't, no, what was that? This idea of it's only going to get worse. We've got to fix this now. Like, didn't think it through, and now they're stuck. But then I'm hearing leak again. I'm hearing leak. Somebody talking. Could be a group of guys that forced these girls to stay, or forced her to stay or something, and then sort of coming out of it, you know, what are we going to do now? But she could be too far to travel, you know, like this isn't where she can just go next door and get a cup of sugar or tea. It feels like trapped and stranded at the same time. Stranded. She said it'll be all right. I feel like she'll get home. I heard dead or alive, and it'll take some time for her recovery. But it almost feels like it's a thin line between alive or dead, you know. But I do feel alive. Possibly it hasn't been decided yet. I can sort of see her sitting there among people and realizing this is not like, oh shit, I don't want to be here. And it's even making me think of like people who go to a party and get stranded out in the middle of nowhere, and then like they say, okay, take me home now, and they refuse to give them a lift. So they're trapped, you know? She can't just walk home. Got no phone. I mean, that would feels like it would be easy to do that. No phones. Nobody's talking. Nobody knows. So she's just gone. You know what I mean? She didn't intend to be gone this long. Just like an extended stay. Okay. I feel like I want to... I'm going to pause and then... I'm going to save this episode and I'm going to come back for part two immediately. Thanks for listening, guys. Be right back.